Herman Göring, now playing in theaters.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
It's 53 degrees in Lawrence, 55 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
PR News. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in just about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then we will hear reaction from airline passengers finding problems as they're trying to get from point A to point B. We'll learn about an uptick in deals that have to do with the entertainment industry and AI. We will also learn about why some companies have begun using AI to interview potential employees, how people are feeling about that. All coming up here on KPR. We are with you till 7 o'clock tonight on All Things Considered. Support for All Things Considered on KPR comes from the Lecompton Historical Society's Christmas Through the Ages. Over 200 Christmas trees with vintage and antique ornaments at the Territorial Capital Museum. Now until Wednesday, December 31st. Details at LecomptonKansas.com. Join us next Friday night, November 14th, at Liberty Hall for KPR's next Cinema A Go-Go. Our enormous double feature includes The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, plus It Came from Beneath the Sea, in which San Francisco is laid waste by a giant octopus, as happens, you know. Join us at Liberty Hall Friday, November 14th, 7 p.m. Tickets at the door. More information at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
The time is 6:20.
Support for frames and even coffee tables is skyrocketing.
Furniture prices are rising because manufacturer costs are rising.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. What you need to know about the increasing cost of living and why furnishing your home is becoming more and more expensive on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight's on Good Shepherd Home Care and Hospice in Manhattan, providing care in private homes, assisted living centers, nursing homes, or at their own hospice house. More details at goodshepherdhh.org.
News headlines are coming up next. We'll also take a look at the weather. Big changes in the weather afoot. And arriving tomorrow night, it's 53 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
Farmers markets that accept them. For NPR News, I'm Elena Neal Sachs.
And you're listening to NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The state of Kansas said today that it has issued full November benefits for Kansans who receive food assistance. The Department for Children and Families says it distributed nearly $32 million to about 86,000 households. It also said recipients should have access to their full benefit by the end of today. All current Kansas SNAP beneficiaries are receiving their benefits on November 7th instead of the typical monthly issuances that are staggered over a 10-day period. Federal payments to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program have been in limbo because of the government shutdown. The issue has been tangled up in court. Kansas SNAP beneficiaries can check their balances at the FIS EBT Edge portal online or via the EBT Edge app. People flying through the Kansas City International Airport could experience delays or even cancellations due to the government shutdown. Hallie Jackson has more.
The Federal Aviation Administration is reducing air traffic by 10% at many major airports. The aim is to keep U.S. airspace safe during a mass shortage of air traffic controllers. Kansas City's airport is not on the list, but most of the 40 airports that are have nonstop flights that come through here. They include some of MCI's most common destinations, Chicago, Dallas, and Denver. The Kansas City Aviation Department said in a statement it's committed to keeping disruptions to a minimum, and many of MCI's major airlines are offering free changes or refunds for impacted flights. I'm Hallie Jackson.
Eisenhower National Airport in Wichita also is not on the list of airports expecting air traffic reductions, but some flights are being canceled there anyway. Jesse Romo is the director of airports in Wichita. He asked travelers to have patience and extend grace.
We have a lot of federal employees that are keeping us safe and secure between FAA and TSA that have been working without a full paycheck for over 30 days now.
Romo says travelers can install the app for the airline they're flying with to stay updated on their flights. Those reductions are coming just weeks before the Thanksgiving holiday, one of the busiest times for travel in the U.S. Lows in the lower 40s tonight. Temperatures falling throughout most of the day tomorrow. We are expecting a high in the lower 60s. And for tomorrow night, lows in the upper 20s with a chance of sprinkles and snow flurries. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR comes from this state fact.
Tune in to Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. A great way to start your day with the latest international, national, and regional news. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.9 FM in Atchison, lots of other frequencies all around the state. Thanks to listeners just like you. You can listen online, if you'd rather, at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, hosting a screening and discussion of the documentary Return of the Sacred Red Rock, November 8th, 2 p.m., Woodruff Auditorium in the Kansas Union. Information at spencerart.ku.edu.
We do have a bit more All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, we will have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon is your host. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next we have Snap Judgment.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Dole fellow and former Kosovar diplomat Chandram Gashi in conversation with Pierre Shimunovich. November 13th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
53 degrees in Lawrence, 55 in Topeka, 57 in Emporia. It is 10 minutes before 7.
Individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
The holidays can throw our usual routines up in the air, but here's one ritual you can keep to stay centered and informed. Listen weekdays to Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
KPR's Community Spotlight is now accepting applications from local nonprofits who need help spreading awareness about their mission. We'll highlight your organization for a month using KPR's airwaves. Details at kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have news headlines, then Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. It's Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon is your host tonight, concentrating on music from war movies. In the background, we are hearing Franz Waxman's score for Destination Tokyo. You will hear excerpts from that and many, many others coming up here on KPR. Lows in the lower 40s tonight, reaching a high fairly early tomorrow in the lower 60s, with temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. Then tomorrow night, cold with a low in the upper 20s. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration is appealing a court order to pay SNAP food benefits during the government shutdown to the Supreme Court. On social media, Attorney General Pam Bondi called the order judicial activism at its worst and said the lower federal court shouldn't be able to, as she put it, dictate its own preferences for how scarce federal funds should be spent. As NPR's Stephen Fowler explains, some states like California and Wisconsin are already telling SNAP beneficiaries that full payments for food aid are on their way.
Some states are telling their residents they will be receiving the full benefits. There's a letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture today telling states to prepare to receive full funding, but the Trump administration called the judge's decision a, quote, mockery of the separation of powers, and went on to say that courts hold neither the power to appropriate nor the power to spend.
NPR's Stephen Fowler reporting. President Trump is asking the Department of Justice to open an investigation into foreign-owned meat packers, accusing them of driving up beef prices. The move comes after Republicans suffered losses in key elections in which the winning Democratic candidates focused on cost-of-living concerns. And Republican Congressman Elise Stefanik says she's running for governor of New York, North Country Public Radio's Emily Russell reports.
Stefanik has been hinting at her run for New York governor for months, but on Friday morning, she made it official. After launching her first campaign video, Stefanik appeared on Fox and Friends.
New York is in catastrophe because of Kathy Hochul's leadership, so I'm running to always put New York families first. That's what I've done in 10 years of Congress.
In a statement, a spokesperson for Governor Hochul called Stefanik a sellout and highlighted her unwavering loyalty to President Trump. New York has long been seen as a solidly blue state, though it saw the biggest swing of Republican voters nationwide in last year's election. For NPR News, I'm Emily Russell in Saranac Lake, New York.
OpenAI is staring down 7 lawsuits in San Francisco and Los Angeles, alleging that individuals have been harmed by interactions with ChatGPT. Some died by suicide. Member station KQED's Rachel Miro has more.
The lawsuits against OpenAI allege assisted suicide, involuntary manslaughter, and that the company knew ChatGPT was psychologically manipulative and dangerously sycophantic. Attorney Matthew Bergman leads the Social Media Victims Law Center, one of 2 organizations bringing the lawsuits.
When you have a machine that is designed to lure people into developing emotional relationships, that is inherently dangerous.
An OpenAI spokesman wrote the company is reviewing the lawsuits and also that it works to train ChatGPT to spot distress and steer users toward real-world support. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Miro in San Francisco.
Major stock indexes were mixed on Wall Street today. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate November 7th. Nothing can survive the brutal conditions on the surface of the moon, but a story that debuted 125 years ago depicted a vast civilization below the surface, a society of insects. First Men in the Moon was written by H.G. Wells. It was published over several months in 2 magazines, The Cosmopolitan in the United States and The Strand in Britain. The first installment appeared in November of 1900. In the story, a man named Bedford befriends a scientist named Cavor, who's invented Cavorite, a substance that nullifies gravity. He builds a ship and covers it with shutters that are coated in the stuff. Opening and closing the shutters allows the ship to move through space. The two men travel to the moon, where they're taken underground by the Selenites. Bedford escapes. Thinking Cavor is dead, he returns to Earth alone. But 2 years later, Cavor starts beaming messages to Earth. He describes the moon and its inhabitants in detail. After he tells the Selenites' leader of Earth's warlike tendencies, though, he's cut off and never heard from again. First Men in the Moon was a hit. It influenced scientists and other fiction writers alike for decades, inspiring more stories, plus efforts to reach the moon, a world populated only in the imagination. The moon climbs into good view by about 8 o'clock tonight. Elnath, the second brightest star of Taurus, is quite close to the moon's upper left. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Jerry Goldsmith for Patton, 1970, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This, of course, is the film about General George Patton during World War II. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies every week. And tonight, we're hearing music from great war movies. The first war film was made in 1897 by the French director Georges Méliès. It was called Sea Fighting in Greece and was set during the Greco-Turkish War. Since then, there have been hundreds of war movies, and we'll sample just a few, including The Dam Busters, The Lost Patrol, and Bridge on the River Kwai. Next, it's a film from 1945, Objective Burma. This is based on events during the Burma campaign during the Second World War. Errol Flynn leads a group of American paratroopers who are tasked with destroying a Japanese radar station. Here's the music by Franz Waxman for Objective Burma on Kansas Public Radio. From Objective Burma, 1945, music by Franz Waxman. Bits of this score were later used in two other war movies, Up Periscope and PT-109. Still to come on KPR's Film Music Friday, we'll hear the famous march by Eric Coates, composed for the British film The Dam Busters, plus an early Max Steiner score for John Ford's The Lost Patrol. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. We're at war with the movies on tonight's Film Music Friday, and next, it's Manhunt, a 1941 thriller directed by Fritz Lang. Walter Pidgeon plays a British big game hunter who's stalking Adolf Hitler. Before he can pull the trigger, he's discovered, and from there, the hunter becomes the hunted. Music from Manhunt is by Alfred Newman, who had just begun a 20-year association with 20th Century Fox. Here is music for Manhunt on KPR. Music for Manhunt, directed by Fritz Lang and featuring a score by Alfred Newman, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a somewhat controversial film in its day. At the time of its release, the United States had yet to enter the Second World War. American isolationists and Nazi sympathizers took issue with the film's strong anti-Nazi theme. Still to come on Film Music Friday, a British patrol lost in the Mesopotamian desert are slowly picked off by unseen Arab enemies. That's the plot of The Lost Patrol, featuring music by the great Max Steiner. Tomorrow, Saturday, and you know what that means, right? Classics by Request, Saturday afternoon, with your host Destiny, playing classical music that's been suggested by our listeners. You can make a request at kansaspublicradio.org for next week's show, and listen tomorrow for Classics by Request with Destiny. That's from 1 to 4 p.m. tomorrow, here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's by Eric Coates, The March from the Dam Busters, a 1955 film about an attempt by the Royal Air Force to destroy a series of dams in Germany during World War II. That march is still a favorite with many military bands. It's Films About War this week on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us. Later on, music from one of composer Ray Fun Williams' few film scores, Coastal Command, made in 1942. John Ford's 1934 film, The Lost Patrol, is set during the First World War. British patrol is lost in the deserts of present-day Iraq and is slowly being picked off by unseen Arab snipers. The scoring of feature films was still pretty new at this point, and originally Steiner was instructed just to compose music for the opening and closing titles. However, when it was previewed, it became clear this was missing one essential ingredient, music. And so Steiner went back and fashioned a complete score. Here's The Lost Patrol on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
That's part of the score for The Lost Patrol, 1934, composed by Max Steiner. Originally, there wasn't meant to be any music during this film, but after previews, the filmmakers realized the score was sorely needed, and Steiner only had 8 days to come up with the rest of the music. It's Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. News from NPR is just ahead at 8:01 tonight, followed by the second half of Film Music Friday.
Say, do you own a business and value the programs on Kansas Public Radio? Well, your fellow KPR listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR and reach your fellow public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Now from 1942 comes Coastal Command, a semi-documentary account of a Royal Air Force raid on a German convoy. All the actors in this film were actual RAF flyers. It also features a rare film score by composer Rafe Vaughan Williams. He only provided music for a handful of movies, all but one made during the 1940s. Here's music for Coastal Command on KPR.
Ray Fun Williams' colorful score for Coastal Command, 1942, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. As he occasionally did with his film scores, Vaughn Williams later created a concert version of music drawn from Coastal Command. This week on Film Music Friday, it's the music of classic war films. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got music from 633 Squadron, Destination Tokyo, and Bridge on the River Kwai. It's all ahead in the next hour, and I certainly hope you'll keep it right here on KPR. Hey, did you know there are a variety of ways to listen to Film Music Friday on demand? You can go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Shows. With the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, anytime you say, play KPR, you can have the choice of streaming various shows on demand, including this one. And if you've got the KPR app on your smartphone, you'll find the show among the on-demand offerings, and you can stream it right to your smartphone. Details about all the ways to listen to KPR and Film Music Friday are available at our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
Last week on Wait, Wait, Josh Gondelman reacted to the news that our pets are suffering from boredom.
Yeah. To see a bored fish. Because you're like, wow, you think they have it all. They live in and still they're as depressed as the rest of us.
I'm Peter Sagal. If your goldfish is bored, have them listen to this week's news quiz with special guest food pioneer Roy Choi. That's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. right after Weekend Edition Saturday. Here for you on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, or better yet, just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. There's another hour of Film Music Friday just ahead. After the news, we'll hear music from films like Sahara, Destination Tokyo, and A Bridge Too Far as we continue with our show devoted to War with the Movies. That's all coming up between 8 and 9 o'clock tonight. Also, what's coming up, it looks like, is colder temperatures. The forecast has tomorrow's high in the low 60s, mid-20s. Tomorrow night, it's going to stay cold for a while. Sunday night, it's down to the low 20s. So people keep asking, when is autumn going to get here? It looks like it's here. Support for news on Kansas Public Radio comes from KU Theater and Dance, presenting the University Dance Company's Fall Concert, featuring choreography by guest artist Jessica Shen, November 14th through 16th in Murphy Hall. Tickets at dance.ku.edu. Our time's coming up on 8:01. The news is next, followed by another hour of Film Music Friday on KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge has permanently blocked President Trump from sending the National Guard to Portland. The administration attempted to send Guard troops to help protect an Immigration and Customs Enforcement building in the city. Trump is facing a similar challenge in Chicago, where a judge has temporarily blocked the National Guard from being deployed there. SNAP recipients in Oregon, California, Wisconsin, and other states are starting to receive their full November benefits. That's after a federal appeals court left an order in place requiring the Trump administration to release funds during the government shutdown. Now the administration is appealing to the Supreme Court. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Kyra Buckley reports.
More than 700,000 Oregon residents woke up to full EBT accounts on Friday. That includes 70-year-old Linda Simon in Eugene, who gets $133 per month.
I am one grateful woman today.
She says the back and forth on if she would get her benefits has weighed heavily on her mind the last couple weeks. She felt tired and was losing hope.
Now I feel a little more energized. You know, I feel like I got a dopamine hit in my brain.
Simon plans to restock her kitchen with milk, bread, fruit, and the makings for a good pot of vegetable soup. For NPR News, I'm Kyra Buckley in Portland.
The Trump administration began scaling back flights today because of the government shutdown. Airports in Chicago, Atlanta, and Denver are among those with the most disruptions. The FAA is trying to reduce flights by 10% to ease pressure on unpaid air traffic controllers. NPR's Joel Rose explains.
The FAA's plan requires airlines to phase in the cuts gradually, so these airlines are going to cut about 4% of flights this weekend and then gradually work their way up to 10% by next Friday. The airlines have some discretion to decide how they're going to hit those targets, so I think it's likely that they're going to try to protect their most popular and most profitable routes. And we also know these reductions will not apply to international flights, only to domestic.
NPR's Joel Rose. A new national survey shows that polarization in the country is taking an emotional toll on Americans. A majority of the 3,000 adults surveyed say societal divisions are stressing them out. NPR's Ritu Chatterjee reports.
The survey by the American Psychological Association finds that 62% of adults say that social and political divisions in the country are a major source of stress. And they were more likely to say they feel socially isolated than those who aren't as bothered by societal divisions. Psychologist Vail Wright with the American Psychological Association says stress and social isolation have long-term health consequences.
Often those are manifested in both physical symptoms and emotional symptoms that can look like headaches, fatigue, stomach problems, as well as increased levels of depression and anxiety.
Ritu Chatterjee, NPR News.
Major stock indexes were mixed on Wall Street today and clocked their first weekly loss over the last month. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio.
We'll be right back.
the main theme from 633 Squadron, composed by Ron Goodwin, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. We are at war with the movies. On tonight's Film Music Friday, I'm Daryl Brogdon, and still to come, we've got Miklos Rocha's music for one of the best World War II films ever, Sahara, plus Destination Tokyo, A Bridge Too Far, and more. Next is something from a British film called Dangerous Moonlight, made in 1941. It's about a Polish concert pianist who joins the RAF and during the film performs a short piano concerto by Richard Adensel. The music became quite popular in Britain during the war and came to be known as the Warsaw Concerto. Now, originally, the film was meant to use Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, but when they were unable to get permission, it fell to composer Richard Adensel to write something in the style of Rachmaninoff. Here is the Warsaw Concerto from Dangerous Moonlight, performed by Christina Ortiz, with the Royal Philharmonic, led by Moshe Atzman, on KPR. Richard Adensel's Warsaw Concerto, composed for the movie Dangerous Moonlight in 1941, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. It's interesting that in the film, we never see or hear the concerto performed in full. Instead, we hear parts of it at various times, even in a concert sequence. But despite that, recordings of the Warsaw Concerto became very popular in the 1940s, and it's still performed today. Coming up, Cary Grant commands a submarine on a secret mission in Destination Tokyo. I guess I just gave away the secret, didn't I? Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu. The motley crew of an American tank is lost in the Libyan desert during World War II. They discover a well in the ruins of Bir Akroma, and also are discovered by a German battalion, which is also desperate for water. That's the basic plot of Sahara, made in 1943 with Humphrey Bogart. The score by Miklos Rocha reflects the harsh desert landscape as well as sound of water. Here's music by Miklos Rocha for Sahara on KPR and Film Music Friday. That is some fabulous music for terrific war film, Sahara, composed by Miklos Rocha, here on Kansas Public Radio. Rocha once said that his films were like operas, and his best scores are certainly very operatic. Tonight on Film Music Friday, we've got music from classic war films and, just ahead, movies about a couple of bridges, one over the River Kwai and another that's just too far. Well, once again, atomic radiation has spawned giant monsters, and they're on the loose a week from tonight, November 14th, at Liberty Hall for KPR's next Cinema A Go-Go. A very touchy 200-foot dinosaur attacks New York City in The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, along with It Came From Beneath the Sea, where a giant octopus gets salty with San Francisco. At Cinema A Go-Go, it's 1 week from tonight, November 14th at 7 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door. Get the scoop at kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. Franz Waxman, that's music for Destination Tokyo, 1943, on KPR's Film Music Friday. This has been called the granddaddy of all submarine movies. Cary Grant is the skipper of a sub with the job of landing a spy team ashore in Tokyo Bay. This was one of Franz Waxman's first films at Warner Brothers, where he would spend several years before becoming a freelance composer. Up ahead on Film Music Friday, Malcolm Arnold's Oscar-winning score for Bridge on the River Kwai. Kansas Public Radio's Community Spotlight program values organizations that share our commitment to the arts, education, health, well-being, sustainability, and diversity of the areas we serve, and will highlight a nonprofit every month using KPR's airwaves. Applications are available now at kansaspublicradio.org. Now from 1977 comes A Bridge Too Far, based on the book by Cornelius Ryan. It involves the disastrous Operation Market Garden, where 41,000 troops were to be dropped behind enemy lines in World War II. The troops meet a lot more resistance than expected, and thousands are killed or captured. Here is some of the music composed by John Addison for A Bridge Too Far on KPR. John Addison's music for Bridge Too Far on Kansas Public Radio and Film Music Friday. John Addison had a very personal connection with the historical event depicted in this movie. He served in a British tank division that was involved in Operation Market Garden. So when he heard the director, Richard Attenborough, was preparing this film, he insisted on composing the score, which became his tribute to all his friends and colleagues who fell during Operation Market Garden. NPR News is just ahead at 9:01 tonight on Kansas Public Radio, followed by Jazz in the Night with Bob McWilliams. Composer Malcolm Arnold only had 10 days to write 45 minutes of music for David Lean's epic Bridge on the River Kwai, made in 1957. Arnold later said it was the worst job he ever had in terms of time. Despite that, his score won both an Oscar and a Grammy. This is music for Bridge on the River Kwai by Malcolm Arnold on KPR. Malcolm Arnold's music for Bridge on the River Kwai, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. The film, of course, is about British POWs who were forced to build a railway bridge over the River Kwai in occupied Burma. But neither the British or the Japanese know the Allied forces are planning a commando raid through the jungle to destroy the bridge. So we've been hearing music for classic war films on this edition of Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll tune in every Friday night on KPR for the music of the movies. In the meantime, let us know if there's film music you would like to hear. You can get in touch at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. That's also where you can stream the show on demand. Just click on Shows to find Film Music Friday. With the free KPR app, you can also stream Film Music Friday right to your smartphone or with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers. Whenever you say play KPR, you'll have the option of streaming shows like this one on demand. Get the scoop at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned next for NPR News, followed by Jazz in the Nights, right here on Kansas Public Radio.
What homeowners insurance do you really need, and how to keep it affordable?
One of the subtleties to look for is things like, if a tree does fall through my roof, is this policy going to pay to replace the entire roof or just the damaged portion?
Plus, author Rachel Kushner remembers the Eugene, Oregon bungalow that made her into the writer she is today. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour.
This Old House Radio Hour comes your way Sunday morning at 10, right after Weekend Edition Sunday. Here for you on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can also listen to us online or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. NPR News is next. It's followed by Jazz in the Night. Cold temperatures are on the way this weekend. We'll see lows in the 20s Saturday and Sunday.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Supreme Court says the Trump administration doesn't have to issue full SNAP food aid payments during the government shutdown, for now. The temporary ruling comes after lower courts ordered the administration to pay full SNAP benefits. Earlier today, the administration said it's sending states money to fully fund the program, though it remains unclear if that will continue after this ruling. Some states like California and Wisconsin already started distributing the full payments. The Trump administration is scaling back flights amid a shortage of air traffic controllers during the shutdown. Nancy Guan from member station WUSF reports.
Bridget Gallman says she and her husband have been waiting at the Tampa International Airport for hours after their flight was canceled twice, last night and again this morning.
So here we are stressing again, once again.
Sitting at the airport.
Gallman says she was recently diagnosed with blood cancer and was planning to stay with family in Colorado as she looks for medical treatment there.
I'm all over the place. I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm tired. I'm just a roller coaster right now.
But she might have to wait a bit longer for a more affordable flight to become available. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Guan in Tampa, Florida.
Senate Republicans are preparing a bipartisan package of spending bills they hope will win new Democratic votes to help end the shutdown. But Trump is calling on Republicans to get rid of the filibuster, which requires 60% of the Senate to proceed with voting on a bill.
I am totally in favor of terminating the filibuster, and we would be back to work within 10 minutes after that vote took place, and lots of other good things would happen. And it doesn't make any sense that a Republican would not want to do that.
Today, Republicans rejected a Democratic proposal to extend expiring health care subsidies for a year. Democrats say they'll continue to hold out until Trump and Republican leaders negotiate. The amount of China's exports dropped last month. It's an unexpected contraction compared to the year before. NPR's Emily Fang reports that indicates Chinese exporters have mostly saturated the global market.
American tariffs on Chinese goods still hover at just under 50%. And even when they were higher, Chinese export figures remained high as well, with a more than 8% surge this past February as Chinese exporters forward-fronted sales to get ahead of U.S. import duties. But that may now be flagging, as October's data shows. Chinese vendors have also tried to sell more to markets in Europe and Southeast Asia, but demand there just isn't as large as it is in the U.S. And in the medium term, Chinese policymakers say they want to move away from an economic growth model that relies on making low-tech goods and exporting them. Beijing's latest proposed economic five-year plan emphasizes developing advanced manufacturing. Emily Fang, NPR News.
Major stock indexes closed mixed today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Japan has resumed seafood exports to China for the first time since a ban imposed for the discharge of treated radioactive wastewater from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. 6 metric tons of scallops from Hokkaido were shipped. A ban remains for seafood from Fukushima and nearby areas, but Japan is urging China to lift remaining restrictions. Known for Yellowstone and Glacier National Park, fans are flocking to Montana for a new outdoor activity, and it's all about the bats. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
Biologists in central Montana lead a boat tour through a Missouri River canyon. At sunset, thousands of bats swoop from the cliffs down into the valley. State bat biologist Shannon Hilty leads tours.
These sell out now in minutes to the point where people are mad that they did not get a spot.
Handheld devices amplify the animals' ultrasonic chirps. State wildlife managers say it's important to raise awareness about bats and their vulnerability to threats like disease. They say they save the agricultural industry millions of dollars a year by controlling bug populations. Montana's bat experts are planning more bat observation activities and educational opportunities statewide. For NPR News, I'm Kayla DeRoche in Billings, Montana.
The NFL's Atlanta Falcons coach Raheem Morris is planning to show his players a video of Jesse Owens' victories at the 1936 Berlin Olympics ahead of the team's game in Berlin this Sunday. The Falcons will face off against the Indianapolis Colts in the same stadium where Owens, who's black, won 4 gold medals in front of Adolf Hitler, thwarting Nazi claims of white racial supremacy. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org.
Thank you. had a tasty little tune written by pianist Eric Scott Reed called No BS. For BS, that second BS is Brandon Sanders, the drummer. It's his new album, Lasting Impression, with Eric Scott Reed as the pianist, bassist Eric Wheeler, vibist Warren Wolf, saxophonist Stacy Dillard. Lasting Impression, the new album from Brandon Sanders. We'll hear from the new one from the tenor saxophonist from Canada, Grant Stewart. Up next, in a few minutes, the great Bill Sharlop Trio live at the Village Vanguard. Singer Ledesi from her new album is on the way as well here on KPR. I'm Bob McWilliams. Thank you for joining me on this Friday night. The album by Grant Stewart called Next Spring. And by the way, the weather Saturday night down into the 20s and Sunday high in the low 40s and Sunday night low of 20. You might be thinking already about, can we just get to next spring? Anyway, the album is called Next Spring, and this is Jerome Kern's standard, I Won't Dance, here on KPR. We'll be right back.
Thank you.